Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you.
And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles. You don't need that love.
Los Angeles, Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. Good morning, Los Angeles. Good morning, world. KFI AM 640. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, 5:05 a.m. It is early. Boy, we are so funny here in Southern California, aren't we? It was raining. It was like the end of the world. Oh, my God. What do we do? How do you drive? Which way do you go? Does that mean go? The red light? Does it mean stop? What is it? What do we do? Oh, my God. I can't believe how many accidents I personally witnessed over the last 2 days. So just slow down, please. Just a reminder. And also, what is wrong with some of you people? You guys can get a little creepy out there on the freeway at this hour. Why was it driving into work this morning? Some guy in a Ford Mustang with, you know, totally blacked out windows, so I can't see if it's a female or male driver, probably a male, kept driving. You know when they just, like, you're on the freeway and you're going, whatever, let's say you're going 70 miles per hour. So now he or she is going 70 miles per hour, and they're, like, kind of shadowing you, like, right next to you. I'm like, why do you want to look into my car? So then I go a little faster, try to get away. And then this person goes faster. And then I slow down. They slow down. I switch lanes. They switch lanes. I'm like, oh, my God, so creepy.
Looks like you got a stalker.
No, don't say that. It was very weird. I was, like, kind of freaking out. So I'm like, all right. Well, listen, we got a big show for you today. We're going to talk a lot about, unfortunately, there is, it appears, going to be a LAUSD strike. So, again, like I asked you last Sunday, where will 500,000 children go? And this is going to be a nightmare this week. I think it really is, on top of the fact that it's supposed to rain all week. So that's going to make it a really sloppy, messy, nasty week for these parents and teachers. Look, I feel for teachers, but also I mostly feel for these kids. I'm all about the kids, you know, especially I met a family out there in front of the LAUSD headquarters. Who his parent, he's like a baker. I mean, he works at a supermarket as a baker. What does he make? Minimum wage. And he has a special needs son. And they're already struggling with, you know, his current curriculum. And now, like, they're not going to have his regular teacher. He was super stressed out, this poor dad. Just too much. It was upsetting me. But we also want to start, we want to kick off the show with this conversation about, did you know that you may be unable to fly without your, I mean, you may, there's this whole thing about, remember you would get on a plane and you just use your California driver's license and you're like, I'm good, it's domestic. I can just get on a plane with my ID. Well, remember California, there's this whole thing now with the federal government with this real ID. It's got these several other checks. So like my driver's license, the one that I have right now, is not a real ID apparently. That's the word for it. Whatever, feds. I would argue mine is a real ID. But Homeland Security is granting temporary real ID extension, allowing us Californian people to use our driver's licenses that are not real IDs yet to be used to fly, but it's just for a limited amount of time. So listen to this. Here's a story, and very important, because if you're traveling somewhere, you need to know this.
The Thursday deadline looming, the Department of Homeland Security extended California's federal real ID extension to April 1st, 2019. The existing extension granted to the Department of Motor Vehicles was set to expire tomorrow. The expiration would have meant that anyone flying domestically would have needed a passport or other government ID to fly within the United States. A driver's license would not have been enough. People here at the San Francisco DMV had no idea.
If they need a passport, they need a passport. I don't have it. Then I'm going to be upset at the airport trying to run home to get it to see if I can make my flight. I'm usually running behind, so that would be very problematic for a guy like me.
As of yesterday, the California DMV said it had been working for the better part of a year to be compliant with the Real ID Act, and that due to the government shutdown, there had been no final confirmation about whether the existing extension, set to expire Thursday, would be further extended. Meantime, available appointments to get a Real ID are nearly impossible to find.
When I tried to make an appointment in San Francisco, I got a message that said, sorry, all appointments at this office are currently taken. I did find an appointment available February 13th in Bakersfield. The appointment availability for most of the other Bay Area cities we checked was March or April.
According to DHS, the new extension granted to California will allow sufficient time to complete the review of California's Real ID compliance certification.
Oh, God, more paperwork. That means we have to revisit DMV. Happy New Year. Hey, hey.
Yay.
Exactly. You know, on Twitter, Resident Muse, thank you so much, says, wait a second. Not only do I have to go figure out this whole Real ID situation, but now we've got a LAUSD, you know, school strike, federal government shutdown, and it's going to rain? Yeah, I know. Good point. It's absolutely true. Speaking of, so listen, just put that on your calendar. I really want you to do that because, in fact, I was thinking about that. I got to renew my license, I think, this year. So I have to make sure I get in there in time because I certainly would be really pissed off if I couldn't get on a plane because, you know, domestically speaking, because you think you can just go anywhere, right, next, you know, here and there. But listen, the other thing is this federal government shutdown. Friday night, I went out with some friends and I forgot. So one of my friends is an ICE investigator, Homeland Security. And I felt bad. I thought, don't worry, we'll pay the bill because, you know, you're not getting paid. Like, I forgot for a second. And she cracked a joke about that. And I said, oh, that's right. You're one of them. Like, you are one of these. It's not all federal employees. But it doesn't matter. The fact that there's even one that's not getting paid. I mean, come on. I feel like saying to Congress and the president, like, you know what? Why don't you go to work and not take a paycheck at all? Not that the president needs one.
Well, there's quite a few Democrats that actually, I think up to 70 that are not accepting their paychecks. Actually donating those.
God bless them.
Started by Mazie Hirono from Hawaii.
And are there any Republicans?
No. Not that I know of. I'll look. Mm-hmm. But all I don't think so.
Well, let's look, but probably not. So we asked you on my Facebook page, has anyone here been directly affected by this partial government shutdown? And we have a few responses. By the way, my cousin is a Border Patrol agent. He's not getting paid. And I'm concerned because he's got kids, got a mortgage, and he is being very careful about his expenses right now. Karen Gates on Facebook says, I can't get an IRS person on the phone. I guess on the 28th, they'll be back answering phones. I don't know if they even ever answer phones when they are working. That's just me, Karen. Mike Dubose says, difficult to get my package squeezed by a TSA agent.
You shouldn't read that.
Come on, that was funny. No reason to go to the airport now. Wow. Seriously, Mike? Seriously? That's funny. Trey Murphy says, nope, haven't noticed. So how can I get one of those sweet jobs? I know. Well, all right. This is Alicia. Alicia Curtin says, yes, my husband is one of the essential workers, so he must drive 50 miles round trip and work 10 to 12 hours per day, all with no pay. I mention this because at some point we may not be able to afford gas to get to work. Not sure how long our savings will hold us over. Most creditors are not willing to work with us. I work part-time, but my pay will not even cover our mortgage, let alone food and gas to be able to get to work. We are preparing to sell furniture to make our bills next month. We are lighting the house by candlelight and not using the heater to help keep our gas bill low. Instead, we are wearing extra layers to bed, sweats, and adding towels for warmth if we don't have enough blankets, all to try to stay warm. We are drinking more water in an attempt to be fuller and not eat full meals to make the food last. With no end in sight, we have to do all that we can to make what we have last. That's awful. Wow. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's the United States of America. That's your first world. That's what's happening here. I'm sorry. That is unacceptable. Unacceptable. Ugh. Okay, we're going to continue this because there's a lot more and real important discussions about how even this government shutdown has a serious impact with security. Let's just go with that. Security, traffic, air controllers that aren't getting paid, but security at the airport because TSA employees are calling in sick. Listen, I don't blame them. You don't pay me, I'll show up. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Mary Kate, she's getting paid.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy. Out of my mind, out of my mind. Wrote it down and read it out, hoping it would save me.
KFI AM Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. All right, so we've got a federal government shutdown. We've got a looming LAUSD strike in about 24 hours. We've got rain. Oh, God, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it just doesn't look pretty, does it? It really doesn't. This has been it's the longest government shutdown. It's ongoing, and everybody expects things to be the same. And it really, you know, I don't care whether you support President Trump or, you know, you're a diehard Tea Party person or you're a diehard Democrat, whatever it may be. I have to tell you, I just feel like when these things happen, just like this looming LAUSD strike that we'll talk about in the next segment with a teacher, I feel like both sides have failed us. I mean, there's no question that there may be a few people that have a little bit more of a say in all of this, which, by the way, I could not even watch President Trump the other night give his little speech, his little fake news about this national emergency at the border, which he apparently pulled back and didn't declare. And was somebody finally came to him and said, dude, hey, I could just hear this conversation, by the way, the White House, yo, you need to make it a humanitarian crisis spin. And so that you get a little bit more love on this. And it just blows my mind because there are a number of government employees, federal government employees, that are affected by the shutdown. And they completely support the president and say that, you know, it's, you know, hold your stance. It's about the wall. As if the southern border is the only vulnerability in terms of points of entry into this country. If, in fact, national security is really at stake, then you do things right. You don't go into surgery and say the person has open heart surgery, but we're only going to really, you know, sew up the top half of the incision. The bottom half will, it'll figure itself out. It doesn't work that way. Was that a good analogy? Maybe not, but
no.
But I liked it. All right, listen to this. We've got a new California Democrat that she's definitely progressive. And she has no problem, Katie Hill just went to Congress, of letting the world know we have a baby as a president. She just unleashed a tirade on his, what she calls, a political terrorism. Listen to this. And, oh, okay. I'm hearing that we're having some technical issues. Okay, well, while you're working on that, let me tell you about this. So freshman Representative Katie Hill basically went on a tirade on air about our president, saying that he is irrational. And she says that he's acting as a toddler. And again, because remember, the president has threatened to cut off FEMA assistance to us here in California because we suffer from forest fires. And it's so petty, especially after having come here and toured the devastation and met with families who lost their homes. It's incredibly petty. And so, you know, Katie Hill goes off and says, look, you can say it's a true humanitarian crisis for the people trying to come here. But she says, look, and again, talking about this whole, you know, border shutdown, the government shutdown. She says, is it certainly not a national emergency? You know, because that's Trump's argument for a border wall. And I got to tell you, I feel her pain when she says it gets more and more frustrating every single day to see how irrational he is. And she went on to make it very clear, quote, this is like a toddler who's having a tantrum. You can't give in, you know? And she says, I know it's a strong word, but to me, this is political terrorism. And so we asked you on our Facebook page, like, how does this affect you in terms of, you know, the government shutdown? Now, Joel came on board and said, look, my son-in-law has been out of work since the start. They are working with utilities and the bank to get postponement on bills, other necessary expenses. He is a veteran, and he is proud of what Trump is doing and is staying home with his small son, taking advantage of the time off. However, when this goes too long, we will help him with food, groceries, and bills if necessary. So, yes, it is affecting us, and we're willing to help as long as necessary. Well, Joel, I'll tell you this. Good for you. God bless you that you're able to help your son. But what about the other government workers that don't have that support system? What about them? So you can't assume it's okay to do this. No, it is unacceptable, whether you are a diehard Democrat or a diehard Republican. I'm sorry. And we finally have the audio fixed. So listen to this. Here's Katie Hill going off on the president.
Money doesn't come out of nowhere. It gets moved from somewhere else. And in a tweet yesterday morning, the president threatened to cut off federal emergency aid to your state for forest fires, claiming the state would not need the money if forests were properly managed. Now, this was completely debunked during the Camp Fire and the other recent fires. But the president continues to blame the wrong people for forest fires. But the bottom line is we're seeing reports of firefighters who are not being trained, of the Forest Service not being able to contract things out and get equipment. This is really real to your constituents.
Yeah, we have national forest workers who are not working right now, who are furloughed, who live in my district. And you talk about the campfire being, it was started on national land. It is on federal land. It is not something that is related to the state of California's responsibility. The other fires have started because of brush in areas that were also on federal land. And it has nothing to do with any of the issues that he's suggesting. And when you talk about declaring an emergency, a federal emergency, we're from a state where we know all about emergencies and what should be a national emergency. And this is simply not one of them. When you're talking about pretend facts, you can say that it's a true humanitarian crisis for the people who are trying to come here, but it's certainly not a national emergency. And it's just like, it gets more and more frustrating every single day to see how irrational he is. And it's we can't accept this anymore. We really can't. And that's why we have to hold the line. We have to say that this is like a toddler who's having a tantrum and you can't give in. We have to say that this is unacceptable moving forward. Negotiate with us, but not on the backs of people who, again, have nothing to do with it.
Congresswoman,
But he doesn't care. I mean, honestly, it just goes on and on and on, which is really disgusting. So I have a little cousin, actually, who worked for the TSA at LAX, and it is true. So CNN came out with this report that they talked to their union, and a lot of TSA employees are calling out sick. They don't want to go to work. Why would you go to work? You're not getting paid. Where do you send your kids? You got to pay the nanny. You got to pay the daycare. It's like you have all these situations, and my cousin in particular has kids that she has to pay for a nanny. She lost her husband in a terrible motorcycle crash. So she's like, head of household, single income. You got single parents out there trying to make it happen. Did you know that the typical TSA officer at the airport, you know what their salary is? It's only like $38,000. $38,000. So, let's think about these folks. I mean, that's tough. That's tough if all of a sudden you don't get even that little bit of a paycheck and now you still have to pay your bills. And in fact, there was somebody I talked to and they said, I tried to work it out with my mortgage company to give me a break or let them know what's happening. And they didn't care. They didn't take the time of day to even take my call. So there are a lot of situations where government employees right now, yes, they are struggling because they're not getting paid at all. You've got, in law enforcement, you have a number of these federal agents that are out there working 16-hour days. My friend in particular worked like a 12-hour day on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And, because the Rose Parade, the extra security, she didn't get paid. They're not getting paid. So something's got to get done. And I would just argue, please, Congress, figure this out. But really, President Trump, just, if you're so rich and you keep flaunting that and you tell us all the time how wealthy you are and how good you are at business, then figure it out. In fact, why don't you just take the interest from one of your several bank accounts and just use that money to build the wall.
He doesn't have that much money.
Well, I know, but he says so. So you know what? Put your money where your mouth is. That's what I say. All right, LAUSD. I'm worried about our kids. What are we going to do? There's a strike. It may happen in 24 hours. We're going to talk to a teacher who's going to be affected. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Mary Kate, what's the latest?
I want you to be happier. I want you to be happier. When the morning comes and we see what we've become. In the cold light of day, we're a flame in the wind, not the fire that we begun. Every argument, every word we can't take back. Cause with all that has happened, I think that we both know the way that this story
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. All right, let's kill the music. I'm just kidding. Listen, guys, this is serious business. In about 24 hours, we're heading into something else that's terrible, which is the Los Angeles Unified School District, which, by the way, holds about $8 billion budget because it is the second largest school district in the nation. There is a certain brutal, vicious war of words going on between the bargaining table of UTLA, the United Teachers of Los Angeles. That's the union that represents teachers, and the administration, the district, the school board president, Monica Garcia. I think it's still Monica or somebody else, but she's still on the board. And Austin Buettner, who, as you know, is a former investment banker, and he made the bid to be mayor. That failed. And now he did went for this job as the superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District, and he won. And now it's been more than 20 months that both sides have been trying to negotiate a deal. And back and forth, I mean, up to the wire was this last week because there was a strike deadline. LAUSD was given notice. Of course, that was up for issue because LAUSD took the union to court saying that they weren't given proper notice. So they were supposed to go to strike on Thursday because no deal had been reached. So now it got moved back to the union on its own accord, said just in case the court comes back and sides with the district, let's just set a strike date for Monday so that we don't screw up parents and their schedules as well. So, Nicole, good morning and welcome. Nicole's a teacher with LAUSD. I'm so sorry because I was really excited and I thought, you know, I've been covering this story every day at KTLA. And I thought on Friday, okay, this is going to happen. They've got another day. They're going to negotiate. It looks like both sides want to do something. Gavin Newsom was inaugurated this week, our governor here in California, and he was excited. And it sounds like he got involved to try to bring the parties and talk about this $1.9 billion unrestricted general fund. And maybe that's the money that could be used to reduce class size, the pay increase for teachers, 6.5, and to improve conditions like actually have a nurse at every school, because apparently 80% of LAUSD schools do not have a full-time nurse. They don't have psychologists on campus. What else? Tell me.
They don't have, actually, they don't have enough people working outside of the classroom to help to support a principal to run the school effectively. Yeah. They don't have enough supplies anymore. They don't have enough teachers. In my opinion, I mean, they just don't have enough. We're down to a skeleton crew.
Well, I've got
no doubt.
I'm thinking to myself, you've got to be frustrated because LA Unified says on Friday afternoon that the district has offered to pay for every elementary school to have a full-time nurse, and that they put in the bid. They're going to lower class sizes by about 2 students at middle schools. And Austin Buettner on Friday said in a press conference that he was able to offer these improvements with the hope that new money from the county and the governor's budget proposal would come through, that every nickel, quote, that we're receiving, we're investing in our classrooms. But then the union, right, your union says,
right,
no, that's not true. So which is it?
Well, you know, I think we know a lot more than the last time I talked about you.
Yeah.
And I think he's really not telling the truth.
Who's he?
Because remember Austin Buettner about spending every nickel. He's talking about spending every nickel over the period of 3 years. And also it's supposed on the fact that the district would stick to the budget that they have as written. But here's the thing. If they had stuck to that, if you look at what they're spending, starting in about 2016, they should have run out of money by now, okay? Because they said 3 years ago that we would start this year with $29 million in our fund, about $29 million-ish, and we have $1.9 billion. And back then they said it was because we were operating out of deficit.
Yeah, I have to tell you that.
And the fact finder found that it was $1.9 billion at the beginning of this year. So how is that not hoarding money? I mean, I find it hard to believe, but it seems like that's really what's happening.
Yeah, and you said fact-finding. That's the fact-finder is an independent auditor, basically. What
yes.
I will say that drives me crazy is you have a superintendent who's a former investment banker, which means he
yes.
probably does a good job at math. And you also have on the other side teachers and a union and Alex Caputo-Pearl, who's your president, who's a former teacher, is my understanding, and would probably be very good at math as well. And both sides, as a reporter,
right.
I'll tell you, come to the table with fuzzy math. And I was
exactly.
at one of the school board meetings, and a parent had a Spanish-speaking parent, had a translator. And she was brilliant, this mom. She went up there and told
yeah.
the school board, said, who's doing what? I don't understand how nobody's telling us anything. And as parents, we feel like we're being manipulated by both sides.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's usually how bargaining goes, I guess. I don't know, but I'm
no.
looking right here at the numbers. And if you look at the year 2015,
all of a sudden, the end of year reserves just shoot up. They go from about $800 million to $2 billion.
Right. I'd like to see a line item on all this, because something that your union, one of your vice presidents from UTLA said, what about the $600 million that you lose every year from charter growth? I thought that was interesting, which I didn't know. Right. Oh, okay. That means if charter schools come into play, then I guess there's that money that's not accounted for. And so why isn't there, you know, somebody else also said to us, though, that the school board, let's not just focus on Buettner. He's only been in office for, what, 2 years?
Right.
If that.
Oh, yeah.
But the school board, you've got people that are lifers there, and you also have this new school board that a lot of them are charter school proponents. We get that. And that's part of the conversation here, that everybody feels like the district is intentionally starving the school board, I should say, is intentionally starving the district so that they can privatize LAUSD and break it into 32 different portfolios, if you will. So let me ask you this. What would you say to the school board that where parents keep saying, what are they doing? Like, they received like 175% pay raise like two, three years ago. They went from making like 45, the part-timers or whatever, but 45,000 to like 100 and something a year. 110, I think.
Yes.
That's crazy. The school board.
It is crazy. Here's the other thing. You know, my school has one of those charters across the street. Mm-hmm. And just on December 21st, 2018, the quote-unquote CEO of that school group, it's Celerity. This is an article in the Los Angeles Times, pled guilty to skimming money from her schools. She spent, and this is in the LA Times, she spent $200,000 on herself and then took $2.3 million, I believe, of California's taxpayer dollars and started a charter school in Ohio.
Oh, wow. And that's why you guys are fighting on this whole charter school. It's not that you don't want to see a charter school affiliation, et cetera, but the accountability is the issue, right?
Yes, it's frightening. And you know what? The more I think about it, you know, that's my community's money. I mean, whoever's in charge of these schools, they need to be held accountable for how they spend their money. I mean, why should my California money be going to Ohio?
Right. And you must be concerned about your students. I mean, the vast majority of LAUSD students, families are low income. In fact, something like 80% are on a reduced lunch or free lunch because they can't afford it, which is it's unheard of. Now, just quick, can you stick with us for a second? We're going to go to a break, but when I come back, I want you to tell parents what they can do to if they want to support teachers on strike tomorrow. I know that the Jewish community centers have really mobilized the Valley, and they're setting up like, you know, little centers for you know, the teachers and other kids and parents. But what about the other communities, if you will? Like, what can parents do? So Nicole is a teacher with LAUSD. We'll be right back with that. And in the meantime, you know, send us your comments on Instagram and Twitter at Elizabeth Espinosa on Instagram, and Twitter's at @E_Espinosa. Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Mary Kate, what's happening in the newsroom?
Found you when your heart was broke. I filled your cup until it overflowed. Took it
so KFI AM 640, Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, 548 AM here on the West Coast. We've been talking to Nicole, who's a teacher with the Los Angeles Unified School District, second largest school district in the nation. And the teachers union, of course, now saying that, well, our educators deserve more. The city of LA deserves more. Public education deserves more. We've not come this far to settle for so little. So tomorrow, it looks like the strike is going to happen. The UTLA, again, the teachers union bargaining team, says that rather than hearing it in person, they watched Austin Buettner, who is the LAUSD superintendent, his presentation over LAUSD's Facebook live stream, just a few floors away because they were in the same building at the district headquarters in downtown. Apparently, he was a no-show. Two of the three bargaining sessions that happened this last week. And that Buettner told that same room of reporters that he is ready to meet and bargain with UTLA 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but has not happened. And so it looks like 500,000 children will have they won't have their teachers to go to. You're talking about over 30,000 teachers within the union and 500,000 kids. And you've got to think about the funding as well. If the kids don't show up, remember, then there's no funding that goes to the state. Like, the whole funding situation is a nightmare as well. But we wanted to keep Nicole on. So, Nicole, thank you for staying with us. I wanted to ask you, what can parents do if teachers go to strike? I know that the union has set up phone banks, also the Los Angeles Unified School District, because there were actually some parents that were in the dark, had no idea that there could be a strike soon.
Right, right. Well, parents, we realize that there are going to be some parents that, you know, many parents that have to take their children to school. Really, you know, if you want to support your teachers, if you're dropping your children off at school, join us for a couple of minutes on the picket line before you leave. I mean, just knowing that we have parents who support us, I think that's really the most important thing. I mean, you know, a lot of parents are offering, you know, snacks and water and things like that, and that's wonderful too. But really just having the support of our community, that's humongous. And over the last week or so, we've learned that a lot of parents understand and do support us. So we really appreciate that.
Well, you also have a lot of LAUSD teachers that have kids that go to school to LAUSD yes. schools. So I guess a lot of them are going to have their kids on the line, right? On the picket line.
I am. Yes, I have two students in LA Unified Schools and they'll be with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was at a birthday party that my son attended yesterday. And a lot of the parents said there that they were just choosing to keep their student at home because they were concerned about safety issues.
Yeah, speaking
so, you as a parent, it's your choice, and we support right. you in your choice.
Right.
But if you want to support us, just let us know that, you know, come out and walk with us for a few minutes.
And by the way, speaking of those notorious lawsuits of sexual harassment and abuse within the district, right? Remember mm-hmm. the guy with the creepy guy with the cookies and all that disgustingness? Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh.
Okay. So in light
actually
of all
I actually have
those...
a friend who taught at that school. Oh, but gosh. Yeah, go ahead.
In light of all of those scandals, my jaw dropped when I think it was Thursday, when the school board approved a motion that basically mm-hmm. relaxes the rules of the background check. So instead of if you want to be a parent volunteer or some type of volunteer of any sort during the strike, you don't have to go through a full DOJ, Department of Justice, background check. Now you only have to go through a Megan's Law background check. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
I know. It is frightening. It is frightening. And it just shows, to me, it just shows what their priorities are. Somebody has decided that there's less of a risk of something bad happening than, you know, someone getting injured if there's not enough supervision, I guess. I don't know.
But doesn't it bother you, Nicole? Like, don't
you
also... It
blows my mind. Yes.
Right? And doesn't it make you think, like, where are the political leaders in all this, too? Like, I don't know. Perhaps that's the reason why you have a mayor. That's the reason why you have a congressperson, a state senator, you know, the governor. And I know at least Gavin Newsom has tried since he just walked into the job.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, shouldn't you have somebody like that come in as a third party and say, wait a second, how is it we have so much fuzzy math here and we're going to go screw up the lives of all these people, most of them of color, most of them low income? I wonder if this would happen if all these parents and students came from a lot of money and we're all lawyered up. I really wonder.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be happening. And that shows you what they think of all of us who have children who attend the LA Unified. And it just, it kind of supports the narrative. I mean, it's just, I don't know what's going on in our country right now.
Yeah.
Everywhere I look, it just seems like leadership is failing.
Absent. And they all get an F in my book. I feel like the fact that we've allowed it to go this far, both sides have failed to a certain degree. I'm sorry, you know, but I think, do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just sad. It's just sad.
I know.
But, you know, I really do think that they need to spend that money on the kids.
Well, they got to figure it out. Come on. Everybody else figures it out. But all of a sudden, they can't figure this out. Give me a break. Give me a break. Nicole, thank you so much. Listen, here's some advice. It's going to rain this week. It's going to be cold out there. So start taking a little bit of drops of oil of oregano. I know this is like my mommy tip, but it's so good for you. Dilute it with water, and it's going to boost your immunity because it's going to be cold out there. So just a little thought, something for thought. Thank you for coming on board here. Take care, Nicole.
Yeah, thank you.
Be careful. Bye-bye. Be safe out there. Good luck. Hopefully, this does not last more than a day. Today at 4 o'clock, by the way, the Critics' Choice Awards are happening. Oh, and listen to this. Listen to the song. Remember this guy, R. Kelly? What you want? What you want? with Lady Gaga, the song, remember this? So this song is Do What You Want With My Body with R. Kelly. So Lady Gaga this week came out and said, I wasn't thinking. Exactly. So R. Kelly is this R&B, whatever, singer, and he's been around for a million years. Okay, maybe not that long, but I just watched Surviving R. Kelly, the Lifetime documentary about this guy, this guy here. Oh, he's a creep. So R. Kelly's been hiding out apparently in a Trump Tower in Chicago. He's accused of raping young women. He married an underage woman. He has, during the airing of this Lifetime documentary, apparently there's information that he's holding two women against their will. But it's not that it's against their will. It's literally like he brainwashed them. This guy is creepy. So apparently after the airing of this documentary, which I really highly recommend you watch, I was just like glued to the monitor. Prosecutors out in Illinois encouraged these alleged victims to please come forward. They want to initiate an investigation. So I hope that helps. And I know some Chicago radio stations now refusing to play his music. I am one of them as well. I won't listen to his music anymore. All right, really quick, the calendar section. We're up against the clock here. Bum, ba, bum, 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 calendar. Here we go. So as I said, Taye Diggs is the host of the Critics' Choice Awards happening in Santa Monica today at 4 o'clock. Want to remind you, Decker Canyon Road, State Route 23, is going to be closed in the Woolsey fire burn area because of the storm. So be careful out there. A lot of the areas, you know, those burn areas, be mindful of mudslides with the rain. Also, on, 20 years in college admission, what has changed, what hasn't? There's a big conversation about that this Wednesday at Menlo Atherton High School at the Performing Arts Center. That's very cool. Yoga in the park today, 10 a.m. Let's go. Van Nuys Sherman Oaks Recreation Center. Also, Blog Her Health Conference happening on Thursday, January 24th and 25th. Celebrating the female storytellers who raise awareness for our collective health. I like it. And, of course, don't forget we are here online at Elizabeth Espinosa on Instagram and Twitter at @E_Espinosa. And I promise you, I've got a new podcast coming your way for you to watch. For Elizabeth on Top on iTunes. You can listen to some of our old, our old stories, but they're incredible stories. And I will see you next Sunday. The Jesus Christ Show is next. Please stay dry, be safe, relax, be calm, and I'll talk to you soon. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.